It's been a wild few months.
Crazy time, man. Crazy.
It's crazy that like we didn't even plan it, but like the changes kind of like happened almost at the same time.
Yeah, right.
So you know, like,
everything just came at like the last 5 months for me, or let's say the last 1 year for Sample Access, just came fast. Everything just went no planning. Like, of course, we knew that at some point we would leave our career, but then I just took off. I went to Ibadan. Before you knew it, Nelson took off, and you are in. Are you able to disclose where you are? Somewhere in the north.
Well, like I feel like I don't mind. You can as well just say I'm somewhere in Europe. You know, thriving.
Nelson is in Europe. He's fulfilling destiny in Europe. Plus, he ran away.
Yeah, right. Everybody's saying Nelson ran away. I ran away. You know.
Yeah, normal dubs.
I ran away.
My Funshaw ran away. Of course, I mean, I get it. Funshaw ran away in 2014. It's my big Egmo. I'm just history because you know I'm familiar with him. He's a big life as well. He's one of those people that keeps pushing me on to do good shit. When I was much younger, Funshaw was in Lagos. So if he comes by Ekiti, he would make sure he finds a way to see me. We'll share some beer and pepper soup before he takes the next trip. So even just that 2 hours, he will be giving me game. Wiga, you have to leave this town. Wiga, you have to Amaya. Those little things.
Yeah. And then
even now, in 2014, when he went to the US, he just called me out of the blues. Wiga, I meet you. Like normal. You just appreciate, you know, how things move. And I'm always very, I mean, he believes I should find my way as well, but I believe things work out by time and all that. But it's just reminiscent of the recent wave in Niger. I don't know how you see it because you have a personal story. It may not be the popular story, it may not be the same across board, but there is a wave. There's been the Japa wave in Niger has been heavy for like the past two, three years, and it's almost like we haven't seen this before. What's your perspective, really?
Well, like, funny thing is, I've been wanting to talk about this like for a while. I think we had a conversation, and 3 months ago, like, somebody actually even prepared something for me to come and talk, but as God will have it, it did not happen. And right now, I'm right here in my own podcast having to talk about this. So, like, it's obvious that there's been some sort of like movement from Nigeria to other parts of the world for the past few years. But, like I always say, like, every story, you know, be today starts. Do you understand? Like, it's not even it is not like a today story. Something that started probably way years ago. Like, for example, thank God that you spoke about like somebody that has been pushing it as Mr. Femi.
Funshaw.
Mr. Funshaw, your person. Like, for me, that's been my cousin who is still pushing me to date, right? Like, Banji, that's his name. My big bro, my big cousin, best guy. That guy has been pushing me since I was able to talk. And I literally mean since I was able to talk. So he has been in my life every day, reminding me that you are great and you must be great. This kind of energy from day one is what I've been getting, and I'm still getting it till now. So the reason why I'm talking about him is because probably like in close quarters, he was the very first person that I knew personally that meant a lot to me, that left the shores of the country to like pursue something somewhere else, that took that big step. So although he left like a long, long time ago, that's why I'm saying that this thing didn't start today. He left even before the 2010s. So he has been outside of the country shores for a long time. I mean, outside of the country shores, I mean like beyond, is in Europe. So that's why whenever people get to talk about like, oh, the Japa movement and stuff like that, it's because my perspective is always different because I knew the amount of people that left in a particular space of 3 years between 2009 and 2011. So a lot of people might think the wave of the most huge movement or the most huge push is probably like 3 years ago. But for somebody like me, even though I was very young, I knew that there was a push that happened in 2009 and 2011 between those few years that was crazy. Not as loud as now because of the effectiveness of internet, but like as crazy. And the thing is, also another perspective is the fact that my father would tell me that there was a push during his time as well. Like probably
Andrew.
Yeah. 79 down to like 85. That one is probably the biggest gap. Because my pops would always say stuff like, oh, maybe you should have moved at the time as well when everybody was struggling to move and it wasn't even so difficult, you know. It should have been easier to go to the Commonwealth nations and just be in places like UK and everything, and you'd be able to get work almost immediately, even though it might be small work, but like it's something that you'd be able to work over time and become somebody later on. So for somebody like me, the Jaguar perspective has always been completely different. And that's why when people talk about it, I just always like stay on the side and not give too much of comments because talk too plenty for me to talk on.
He choked.
Oh, yeah.
He choked. Well, I say he choked.
Oh, yeah, he choked. That's what I'm saying. Like, most of the time when people, they talk about, like, how they feel and what they feel, I'm like, I have some more information, which I am so sure is even a smaller information compared to what other people have. You know, but, like, for me, my own small boy point of view, I know, say, like, there's been, like, three major waves, right? And we're, like, in the third wave, and there's going to be another wave later on. But the thing about Nigeria, you see, we no go finish. You understand? The population of the people, when my father talks about his time, that was recorded as Nigeria at the time, if you compare it with Nigeria now, we have increased exponentially, and people still run. And we know stuff.
And people still choke for air.
And people still choke for ground. Right? Because like in the 70s time, you are probably talking Nigeria was maybe recording 70 million plus. In 2009-2011, Nigeria was probably recording 180 million or 170 million, assumed numbers, right?
Yeah.
And as at the time I left in 2013, we're probably recording over like 220 million. So you can see that regardless of the move, or regardless of the amount of brain drain that, like, in quote unquote, that is happening, there's still a large number of people in Nigeria. So, like, and every single person, one way or the other, is rooted back home. Whether they remember home, like San Sultan was saying, motherland, or whether they completely, like, forget home. There are still people that have, like, all Nigerians that have gone everywhere in the world, they have ties. So back to my own story, man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Back to my own story. Make I talk the talk. So I've been out of the country for about, I think we're in January now, so about 6 months.
Yeah, half a year.
About 6 months, so half a year. And gladly, like, what pushed me to leave Nigeria was because I got a scholarship to study further. Like Nguega said, destiny was destined.
Destiny is destiny.
Is what?
It's destiny. Not Nigeria.
It's destiny. I mean, destiny is destiny. Like the lingua of the Gen Z people, which I am proudly a part of. Destiny is destiny. And, you know, like, yeah, so that's one of the reasons why I had to leave the country. But of course, like, it had come to mind earlier that at some point I would have to leave the country because of the space at which I was in Nigeria. Whilst it wasn't the worst phase or space, I just kind of knew that I needed a longer time to be able to achieve some certain things. And I felt like, you know, giving myself an extra hand would probably propel me to be able to achieve things in a faster time. And for me, time has always been like very relative, because, you know, for some certain people, time is like very, very, very short. But for me, I just call it plain short. And I will explain why I say it that way. Some people would say time is, there's a lot of time. You can do this, you can do that. That's how we view time. For some people, they say time is too short. I need to party all the time. No. But me, I'm the time is short. So I know that I just need to get things done at a certain pace, not necessarily hit all the aims at a certain time, but to be able to feel the progression in my life. So when there's like some sort of like stall or something that will probably make me have to wait 10 years or over a decade to be able to achieve some certain things, I'll probably just feel like, oh yeah, I need to look for an alternative route. And that's exactly one of the reasons why I jumped on the scholarship. Obviously, people would say, you will find scholarship if you don't put in the work now. Nobody say they are. Now, you know, they don't feel science scholarship just give you now, right? So, but I'm one of those people that I always like to look at it from an angle of things just happen because God wants them to happen. I'm not the most religious person, but I feel like everything that happens in the world is spiritual. So the universe is listening. You know, at least this case scenario, I could tell somebody that, okay, you might not be religious, but just know that the universe is listening. Right? So the universe is going to do and set things in motion for you. So yeah. I'm one of the people that
based on what you have pronounced or what you're working on.
Exactly. What you have pronounced, what you have done, is like an aggregation of every single thing, right? So it's like what you have done as a person. That's why sometimes I believe that somebody that has done bad can earn good things, because the person has probably done enough work sometimes to outweigh the bad things they have done. I don't even know whether that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. It may
it may not make sense to common folk, right? But
good would follow good, bad would
Exactly. It doesn't mean that I don't believe that there's some sort of karma that can happen or something. But like sometimes I believe people are bad, but at the same time, those bad people, they have done a couple of things that has caused a curve. So that's why they can be in a good position. Not because they will be in a good position for a long time, or because they will be able to dwell or, you know, or perish either ways in that position, but because something has been done that has caused that curve, whether it was the family before, whether it was things that have been placed down before them, or whether it was a couple of things, or whether it was hard work, so something must have been done to cause that curve. So there are a couple of things that happened, and I feel like, you know, I'm one of those people that believe that you guys just push things in place. So I got the opportunity. A big shout out to my cousin. I have to say a big shout out to him, because like every single step of the way, this guy has been, you know, the guy, not just by mouth, but by actions, by showing pure love every single time, and by, you know, being that guy. Basically, he has been that guy all through. He has been that guy all my life, but like right now, he's just extremely, like, he's loudly seen, because, you know, there are some cases where you see that somebody is showing to you the purest of love for nothing in return. Now you know that I didn't feel that before, but now I did see him firsthand.
Yeah.
You get. So like, so that's one of the people that God has placed, or the universe has placed, to just kind of like help me to, you know, help me through this trajectory and, you know, this way. And yeah. So like coming to this new space, I'm just gonna give a couple of information of where I am, but obviously probably not say it all, not because of we are scared of village people following us, but just to, like, you know, keep it private a bit, obviously. I know the
part of it.
I know they fear any village person.
That's me, man. That story will be told, bro. I've become so fearless in the last 2 years. Like,
oh yeah,
the less scared I am about life. Like, I don't see things waiting.
I think I've had this conversation with you. See, I know the fear village people. I think I've said that to you before. Like, I've never been that kind of person that, you know, I acknowledge their presence. I know they are there, but I'm like, you can't touch me. Like, that's just what I feel. Like, you can't touch me. I know you people are there, but you can't touch me. Yeah, so that's how I've always felt. And it's good that, you know, you have seen all those things and all those things, they pop and everything they pop and that's been there. So, yeah, I decided to move completely and everything fell in place. God being God, you know, everything is good. And the universe being the universe. I feel like I've seen a lot of that, but just to get it, because of I'm so appreciative of where I am right now. Even though I'm not there yet, but I need to like take time out to just say,
yeah, right.
It's been a good ride, and I feel good. I'm not where I am. I'm not where I want to be yet, but it's been really good.
Stepped up, and yeah. that's the thing I believe about the universe, or not the universe, life. There's a way that the systems around us have been designed, whether naturally or artificially, to progress over time.
Yeah.
So if you are in any system, there's a hierarchy system, or there's a method of how things work out in that system. It could be reward. If you work for 10,000 hours, you attain mastership. If you go to school, you can graduate and then you can get a job. If you build a business, the business will bring profit and will grow itself, and you can earn for life if you follow. So there is a reward system, and there is also the part about nature. Energy is not created nor destroyed, but it's transferred. So if you take maize from a farm, you eat it, you consume it, you digest it, excrete it, and it goes back to manure in different forms, in different places, but it's still going back to where it came from. And you can literally say that for everything. Solar energy comes from the sun, you consume it.
It's like there's always a reset button at some point.
So God has created nature and life to help each other. So you as a player, as an actor in any space, depending on what you give, you get something back. So if you give your energy to study and to learn a skill, that skill will bring you something, and that's it has to keep going. And you know, it's just fascinating. But then again, like you would say, info. So the money you have,
info. Big shout out to Lai Wasabi, man.
He's on fire, bro.
Love that guy. It's what?
Old? Bro, that guy is a world placed. He said, someone woke up and said, no grief for anybody, and we agree. Are we not supposed to disagree? He said, the school will teach you that the school is designed to protect your brain. This is when you enter street that you learn that your brain is
designed to protect your skull.
If you do anyhow, you say, Lai is on Pulitzer Prize level of wordplay at this point.
No cap. I agree completely. Funny thing is, probably like, obviously, I've always been a lively person from his days of doing his kids, you know, as the lesson teacher and stuff like that. And, you know, trying to do like the early days kids. So, and I've been a fan from the onset. I can tell that the man is smart, really good at what he does. And I'm really happy for him that he's progressing. Him alongside the Gilmore guy, obviously, Gilmore is more relaxed than he is in terms of like approach, which is beautiful, because obviously when you are doing stuff like comedy or anything comedy related, there has to be a genre. That's why we're going to have conversations about people like Dave Chappelle and maybe greats like Eddie Murphy, you know, same set of people but different angles, right? So they achieve the same thing, but like, you know, approach it for different places, right?
What's the name of the we are moving away from the topic, but that's fine. What's the name of the Bible guy? The guy who cracks jokes from Bible stories. Is he Eddie Griffin?
Oh, Griffin. Yeah, Griffin is fucking great as well.
So Griffin is that's right.
Griffin is a maniac. Oh my God. You know, we have so many. I feel like, you know, it's just one of those things to show that like people can be intelligent in all kinds of forms, right? Like all forms, basically. It doesn't have to be one way, but yeah, we're still talking about, you know, life and everything. Sorry for the segue.
Point about you know, the ecosystem and how the world rewards us. So I could literally relate this to anything, the Zappa movement, academics. If you're in Europe, you're in America, you can build something, you can build a solution, you can research and contribute to knowledge in a way that it makes artificial intelligence available to people in Asia, and they can create solutions. They pay you for your intellectual property, and then they start to build things that help the entire world. So it's an interconnected world where everybody is working to make things better. And I don't remember how I got here in the line of our conversation, but my long and short is that everything comes together for good. Nigerians will not live in their entirety. In fact, there was a stat that said the people who are living every year, they are like 100,000, or maybe now it has gone to 200,000 Nigerians. Now that we are seeing restrictions from popular countries like UK, Canada,
then we're going to divert to somewhere else entirely.
Yeah. So with the, let's say 100K or 200K Nigerians living, that means it will take 5 years for 1 million people to live. Let's say the rates gets higher, and 2 years, 1 million people, that's 500K per year. It will still take you 10 years for 5 million, for 50 million people to live. Is that what it is? No, that's 5 million.
5 million.
That's 5 million, and we're talking 200 million people here. So there are many more. For everyone that lives, there are thousands that are still here. There are millions, actually, that are still here. It's just a crazy setting. It just comes back to the point that the country has to work. And I have a theory. I think we are at the start of that long trip. It's a very dark start, but I think we may be at the edge of something important. It's a crazy talk. A lot of people don't hear me when I say it, but believe me when I say I genuinely think that we may be headed for something really, really promising at the long run. It's a long journey, and I will rest that at that point. So let's flip. I know you have something to say, you can say that, and then let's flip to the japa, what's happening on the other side as per personal stories, life ambitions. You know, we can touch on loneliness and this other topics later, but what really is going on the other side, on this journey to destiny for the individual and for country?
I think I'm just going to go on to the question directly, because, like, you know, many things to be said, and we cannot say everything in this pod. So just probably attack the real questions. And we're sorry for the segue, but obviously, you know us, when we are happy like this, we get to talk about things at random. And I think that's one of the things that actually makes the pod more interesting for most of its listeners, because, of course, you know that we can actually take that short trip together and then come back to where we need to be. So, yeah, for me, of course, I'm really talking from my perspective, because, like, things are different for every single person. But I think I remember I was having this conversation with you, and I said, this is probably something that people need to talk about. Like, people need to know different experiences. Of course, it's good to give, like, a whole talk about what this could be, what that could be. But I feel like when you talk about your personal experiences, it kind of helps a whole lot and gives people different perspective into coming to a new space. Now, topmost educational countries in the world. So it's probably, if it is not number one or number, if it's probably, it's okay, it's top 3% in the world in terms of education. And it's not top three exactly. So you get exactly what I'm talking about. It's way up. Wait, guys, is that good enough?
Are we talking about Finland here?
Oh, you just opened it up.
I'm taking this away. Are we talking about that?
I was just gonna, like, give, like, pointers just to, so that I can explain my stories well.
Yeah. So I don't have the stats. I haven't done it.
Oh yeah. But, like, you're top 3% in the world, basically.
Yeah, top. What did you call it? Top 10%.
I said top 3%, but they are not in the top three. They are way up higher. So I'm just like, I think to help you just streamline it more.
I think it's evident.
You and I that are talking right now, we are probably more invested in things like this, so we know. But I'm talking about, like, the regular folk that might not really mind or really care about what happens in terms of education and how progressive the Scandinavian countries are. Yeah, I'm in a Scandinavian country, and obviously I'm in a space where English is not the first language, but English is the second language, and a very good one as well, because most of the people here understand the grip of the language, because they, according to reports, and according to what I've heard in terms of research, they start learning from the third grade. So it's not a weird thing. Every single folk should be able to speak English. Would they speak English? That's a different conversation entirely. Well, getting that opportunity to be here, like I said, huge one for me. I had to take it when it came, because obviously you don't get opportunities like this all the time. And I always believe that most of the time when we're privileged to be in spaces like this, it makes perfect sense to be able to take that leap. And for me personally, yes, it's been a mix of awesome, and at the same time been a mix of feeling completely down. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I've been here for 6 months and I've really gone through a roller coaster. Like, it has been a proper roller coaster for me. I've had the highest of highs and I've had the lowest of lows already in these few months. And of course, every single thing that has happened has their own way of shaping us. But one of the beautiful things about life is that whatever comes at you, it's how you come out of it. So, like, you know how they always say, maybe when you melt gold, whatever, it goes through a process. It's that process that determines how the gold will be at the end, or how the blade would be at the end, or how whatever it is that has gone through fire and has gone through the shaping phase, it's how it reacts and how it conforms to that problem or works against the problem. That's how it will come out, like whether it's going to be beautiful or look very ugly, or look chaotic or look awesome. So for me, I've gotten the highest of highs and I've gotten the lowest of lows. And it's been quite interesting because a lot of things I've been found out about myself, about my knowledge as a whole, about my personal outlook of life, and about how I perceive myself. All of this has happened to me in the past 6 months. Now, I think, and this is me saying it from my angle, I think there are some things that should not happen to you at the same time. And not because of it's a good thing or a bad thing, but sometimes the rush can be very confusing and make you lose yourself. But if you have a grip on something, it will really help. I appreciate everything that's happened to me in this few times, but at the same time, it's been a whole lot to handle. And I think it's because of I have a few grips here and there to like hold me together so I don't crumble. Right? I don't take any of the credit. I give the credits to every single person that's around me, including Goyega that is talking to me at the moment. Every single person around me, I think they get the credit for me being still Nelson today. Because people don't talk about the fact that, I mean, like, we have heard stories. They'll say success would hit you and you will lose yourself. Failure would hit you and you will lose yourself. So imagine both of them hitting you at the same time. So that's like a lot to handle. And I feel like I can connect now to how most people feel when they go into a new space. I'm probably not going to be able to connect completely, because I like to say this, that I wasn't born in wealth, but my parents made sure that I had enough, right? So yeah. I can't be one of those people that would complain that I did this, I did that. Do you understand? My parents were not rich, but they made sure that I had enough to get a good education, to be able to eat whatever I wanted at some point, and to be able to live life at a good pace. And that has affected all of my life. And I think obviously there's a God factor involved, but every single time there's always something that strikes as a balance. So I don't lose my footing completely, right? I moved all the way down here to this country, new space, new entire new area, new configuration basically. And like the way they say in Nigeria, when you move away from country, new dispensation, right?
Yeah.
And like I got all forms of slaps from nature, all forms of pressure from different angles. But because of like the balance that God just, put in my life, in Nigeria people say, Epa, shock and for here, shock and for there, shock and for here. I don't look like, I'm going to steal the lines of the ladies of Nigeria. I don't look like what I've been through. Right? So like, that's like the perfect way to explain exactly how it has been. Now I'm going to explain quickly what it means. In terms of my academics, that's like the most direct way. I have felt the highest of highs and I have felt the lowest of lows.
Crazy.
Yeah. At some point, I felt like, oh, yeah, fuck shit. Nelson, you are fucking smart. Like, okay, let's fucking go. Like, you actually know what the fuck you are doing. Do you get?
Yeah, let's go.
Like, I felt that way at some point. Like, oh, yeah, man. Come on, let's fucking go. Like, this is what you were built for. Like, this is what you have been waiting for. And at the same time, I have felt like I was absolutely shit. Like, I was an embarrassment to my entire family member, my friends, my cousin that has been my pillar for the longest time, my father, my sister. I felt embarrassed for everybody because of me. And all of this happened within a space of 6 months. Now, this probably wouldn't have happened in these 6 months, because if the educational system was different, it might have been like, you know, a different approach, right? But for here, the way the system is, it kind of like the evaluation is like sharp, 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 sharp. We don't do evaluation like, oh, it's all round, you know, prepare for everything at the end. Now, it's not like that. The evaluations are like, you know, in between, right? And truth be told, the lowest of lows that I say I felt, they are not damning lows. So when I mean damning lows, you understand what I'm saying, Goyega? It's not the IBS of memory. It's not the depth of depths. I'm just saying, because I need to put that out there so that people do not think that maybe when they now find out later on how I've been doing it, to now look as if I was capping. Do you understand? But like, it's not the depth of depth, but it's like, you know how when you come into some space and you have expectations about yourself, you have expectations about what you are trying to do to yourself.
Yeah, right.
You have expectations about what is demanded of you, and then you also have expectations of what you have demanded of yourself. And then you now fail on all those things.
Then you feel very bad.
Then you feel very bad. Not like you have failed completely. Not like you have said, oh, Nelson, oh, wow, this is so terrible, we can't take it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You know that you have not attained what you are meant to or what is expected of you. And you look at it and there are like so many options and you try the options and you still fail again. I feel like, you know, sometimes when they tell you, like, failure is a good thing, you probably do not understand how much it is when you have never really failed. Because I'm going to be sincere, I think in my life, up to this point, or before I got to this point, I had never really failed. I failed, but like, it wasn't a failure that was
heavy,
right? It wasn't a failure that came with a lot of pressure. It was failure of, okay, all right, it happened. But like, and I didn't feel it completely. Let me just put it that way. I didn't feel it completely. But now, I have failed in such a way that I can tell myself that, oh, yeah, bro, we failed. Like, oh, yes.
There's always room to, you know, catch up, take it.
And that's the thing. And that's where it even gets a little bit more tragic. Like, there are the options there, and you just, you know, you try again and you fail.
And you are now like, what's good?
Yeah, and you're not like, oh, god damn, what the fuck is going on? Like, you understand? What is happening? Like, I'm still talking about the educational part. I'm still going to move on to other parts. I'm talking about the educational part. And don't forget, like I said earlier, just remind you, I have felt the highest of highs, right? So I have been in a situation where lecturers have referred to work that I've done as excellent, right?
Yeah.
So I have felt that touch of the hem of the garment of, but boy, you mad, oh, good girl.
Validation and appreciation.
Yes, I've gotten that, you know, touch of, oh, wow, like, you know, random teachers will just have a conversation with you because they're trying to pick your brain and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, this is cool. Like, we're going to try, shoot here. On this end. But at the same time, I've gotten a look of more like, how did you get here, fam? Do you understand? Like, who was that signed the contract that you can come here? Do you understand? Like, from where to where, do you get? At the same time, I've gotten the look of, Well, we cannot say that you are not a student, child. Cannot say that you are not good enough, right? We can tell that you are not the best, but you are probably good enough to push and push and push and push, right?
That's crazy.
So, right? So, like I said, for somebody like me, it was completely new. And then you begin to appreciate when people tell you that, oh, they have failed before and they were able to, come back up and get things done and, things worked out for them and stuff like that, Yeah, you see that and you'll be like, oh, this is awesome. But until you are in that kind of space, you don't really get how it could be. So obviously, I'm already in the space of trying to, correct some of these mistakes, right? But some of them I can't correct, right? But then, like I said, I have met some people here that has things that I've heard before. Like now, they are now like so pronounced. Because I remember having a conversation with one of the lecturers that even in his course, I've not done so well, but he has looked at me as like, a student that probably has a lot of prospects for the future, right? And he sat down with me and he was telling me, and I was like, I need you to. Okay, let me just put this out there. People in this part of the world, they don't care about grades. They care about credit.
Credit,
Yeah,
you
like it's
mean?
quite confusing. So for every course you complete, you get credits.
Oh, yeah.
So grade is different from the credit. So right here, they are more concerned about credits. But the grade just kind of shows how efficient and how good you are with the
Well, you
course. How well you have done. But it doesn't mean that you don't get the credits if you have done enough. Right, so to get the credits, but obviously, you just that kind of thinking helps them to think differently about life, and that's why sometimes it's easy for them to excel. You get, and those are things that we were taught that if we don't get the grades, we are nothing. So, like, you understand what I'm saying, right? Yeah,
yeah.
that's
So
like a
is it
different
what
angle.
it's
So,
in the social conditioning, it's in the education system. These things,
education system
sorry
so
to
different.
cut it. These things can go on and on because they are linked. Our parents, our governments, and the way the society has been set up was wired to think a certain way. And so we get the results that we deserve based on the system that we entrench. If you advise people reading without understanding, you will get that in abundance. And if you want to apply knowledge, if you want people to apply their knowledge by gaining true knowledge, there's also a way to manage that, and just the leadership and on understanding.
I mean, I must say that the way you just said it right now is like the perfect way to explain it, because that was basically the conversation I had. And then, because it was one of those courses where it didn't pan out as well. Like I spoke to the professor and she wasn't the one that graded me. I'm sure it was the one that assessed me. I probably have assessed me differently. But he just kept on asking me that, first and foremost, did I get the credits? That was the first thing he asked me. I was like, oh yeah, I did just barely enough to get the credits. I said, okay, that's good. But I have seen you talk and I've heard you talk about some certain things, and I can tell that you might not know every single thing, but at least you understand what this course is all about. And if you are put on a stand, you'll probably be able to have a conversation. And it wouldn't be like Shufa's knowledge. It will be because you know. I think I need to quickly explain what Shufa's knowledge is. Shufa's knowledge is like surface knowledge. So you just understand the words. Sometimes you don't even understand the abbreviations, but you just know how to say it for it to be sweet. But there's a difference when be surface knowledge, right? So and then he told me something. He said, this is probably a lesson to you to understand that it doesn't matter how much work you put in, sometimes things just don't work out.
Crazy, bruh.
His name is, I'm going to say his name right now. His name is Morteza. And that was the best conversation that I ever had since I've gotten to this country.
Harsh
He
reality.
literally looked at me in the face. You know when somebody talks, he spoke with so much confidence, because he actually, and that's the funny thing, we didn't have too much conversations, but he could tell. Do you understand? He could tell the kind of person I was just by having maybe one or two or three talks with me, and probably being there when I asked the question or when I spoke about something. He said, I don't know you so well, but I also know you, right? I've seen you in class, I've heard you talk about something. You have been in this space, I've heard you. So I kind of know who you are. And at the time, I already got a couple of evaluations. So it's like, I've seen your evaluation too. So I know who you are. Do you get me? But then I can tell that you're angry. I can tell you're upset. I can tell that you feel detached. I can tell you feel disappointed. But you need to really understand that that's just like in the space you are in now, that's one of the things you need to forge the best steel, because life is going to fuck you up. You're going to sweat. You are going to cry. You are going to spend time. And it's not going to give you results.
Wild.
So wild. It's just something you just need to know. Like, you just need to know. Like, this is my, he told me that's my first lesson to you directly. That you try, you can put in effort, and it will not give you results.
Let's talk about the component about leaving your, you know, your friends, your folk, your environment that you grew up in here, and how that support system is lacking for many people. Is there a not? I'm trying to wind this down because I see that time is moving and feeling dizzy. But let's just do that part of the talk, which is very common. Leaving your home country means that you're leaving a lot of potential friends or friends and family behind. I would expect that there should be a way to settle into a new environment easily without really, really bothering about loneliness and stuff. But apparently, it's a big deal out there in many countries that foreigners are not able to just enjoy that familiarity and homogeneous life that they would enjoy at home.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think, for example, the big move is like, it's always very, very, it's very scary. But like I've come to understand, I think a positive mindset is probably the biggest tool that you can hold on to. Anything but a negative mindset, and you're good. I'm going to give a quick like understanding. So I'm going to give a quick story of what has happened to me since I've been here in terms of all of that. So for me, I would probably not be able to talk at full about how people feel in terms of when they move to a new country. Because like I said, I am now where my cousin has always been. So it was an easy transition for me. I mean, my first few days in this country, maybe first 4 days in this country, I spent with Nigerians. Not two Nigerians, but like my
home from home.
Jiggets, like home. I was home, at home, away from home. So I probably would not be able to like relate to the time when people first come and they are so lost and all of that. But also, another thing that makes it interesting was that I moved away from the region where my cousin is to another region entirely, where I am the only person there that knows myself. Till I met somebody else that knows my cousin, and that kind of helped me again, right? But at the first move, it was just me. But the first few days that I was here, it was pure bliss for me because I was with my people. It didn't even feel like I had left Nigeria, right? It just felt like I was in a different climate because it was colder, you know, things were different. It looked very organized and stuff like that. But like in terms of the language, we're speaking Yoruba from, I probably didn't speak English for 4 days since when I got there. You get what I'm saying? I was speaking Yoruba to every single person, everybody I was talking to.
Mad.
Yeah, I was eating jollof rice, you get, which is like a rarity in this part of the world. Like I said, we're in a Scandinavian country, right? But I was just in my home. I was home. I was in home. I played football, stuff like that. It was easy. But the moment that ended, when I moved to my region, things started to look different.
Now you're on your own.
I'm probably not going to be able to finish this, but like I'll start with the fact that in my class we were two Africans, just two Africans in the entire class, and the second African left 3 weeks in because she was overwhelmed by everything that the country had to give and the pressure. So at this moment I'm talking to you right now, I'm the only African in my class.
That is wild.
Yeah. That's my friend wild. Made a joke one time, which I've been telling almost everybody that I can. His name is Olumide, such a fool. He said, if somebody wants to kill me, and they set out like an assassin, He wouldn't need to do so much of a job. Just go into my class and look for the African guy. He even made a more sinister joke by saying, if he was a sniper, he just probably needs to stay in one corner and look for the hair that is kinky and just shoot the head.
That's okay.
Yeah, just it's, I mean, it's a very dark joke, but like you get the idea.
Yeah.
And these people are like, you know, white people, Scandinavian. So it's obvious, like it's so different. Even in the international students, they're not Africans, but me or the person I was with before. But like I said, I mean, you probably have clicked into it. Pressure and being overwhelmed mean the person leave the country in just 3 weeks. So yes, I get it. Loneliness can be a bitch. Right? And being away from every single thing that you can connect to can be a bitch. And this just does not happen to Nigerians coming from Nigeria. It happens to Nigerians coming from another part of the world to a new space.
Right? Everyone.
So it's not like, it's not the only, I'm coming from Nigeria to That's why people would leave Europe and go to Canada and still be lonely.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why people would leave Canada and go to maybe UK and still be lonely. Because sometimes you think about it, I can't be lonely in the UK. Like, UK is like Nigeria away from home. Do you get it? Like, with the whole big community, like, I mean, in places where I am, like, having a Nigerian community is rare. I don't even think they're like Nigeria. I mean, they would be, but it's going to probably be like a group of three people or four people in each community. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, like, you know, like in places like Canada or US where you see, like, they can do a full blown Owambe.
And it's going to be like Lagos.
You get me? And people are still lonely. So I think it's because of the way the design of this systems here are. Like now, everybody
Let me I wanted to pick my own part of the last 6 months and just spill it, but you can wrap up the point because I'm actually sleeping by now. I'm almost sleeping.
Oh, it's good. You know what? You wrap up your point, we'll do a part two of this.
Yeah, solid. So I've been blessed to win a scholarship. All of
Opa.
It kicked off like a month, like 6 months ago, and you know, it's just a blessing because I can't explain it. I'm pivoting from radio to energy. I got a scholarship in sustainable energy, and it's just surreal because it's a new high tech area that requires me to now level up by force. You don't have a choice. You have to level up. You have to You have to like justify the scholarship, all those things. So it's a good way to grow up. It's a good way to pivot from one industry to another. And you know, I've been in class, I'm working on projects, I'm working on papers, and I just necessarily have to be a scholar and an academic eventually. Now I'm more open to the idea of a PhD because somehow I've been around more professors, I've interacted with them, and they've indoctrinated me essentially to be a researcher, and it's looking promising. It's looking good.
This is a conversation that people don't know how healthy it is that great guy is talking like this after what has happened in the past 5 years.
Bro, past 5 years of great guys, like those.
This is like awesome landing. I'm so proud of you, bro.
Yo, my bro, it's heavy. It's heavy. And let's just bless God for grace and everything. So, and then it goes back to the earlier points. Life will align. Things will align. You will align with things that you pronounce. The universe will come around and help you fix things. Most of the time, this is what I believe. So it may not be the same for everybody, but I'm just grateful that, yes, there's an opportunity here. Yes, there's room for growth. There's the opportunity for second chances and things like that. So the world is vain, or life is vain, but a lot of times when life is good, it's really good, and you just don't know how to dismiss one for the other. You don't know. I mean, I'm getting preachy, but I just think overall,
preach, brother, preach, bro.
We should bother less about what life does, because life will lie. Like, bad things will happen. If it doesn't happen to you, condole with those that experience these things, but don't let that event weigh you down. Don't let it change your perspective. Life will be good and bad at different times. You may be lucky not to have too many bad. Some bad may come, you dust it and you keep going. So I think the lesson here is just that don't worry about something you can't change. And that's life. Life will happen. And a lot of times, the good of life comes to those who are aligned or who are lucky to be aligned with destiny. And sometimes it's a rarity. We can talk about the Nigerian quotient or the Nigerian quality of destiny alignment, if that could be a term in physics or in life physics. The Nigerian quotient is lower than in other countries. And that's why maybe if we're able to move the country to a certain extent, then people can dream from age 5, from age 7, and the society would help them align faster than our generation. So I could go on and on, but there's so much good in life. There is some bad, there could be more than some bad, but the goal hopefully is that we're able to, AI would be able to predict some of these bad events and avert it. Or we should just take life the way it comes. Take the bad, quickly run with it or dismiss it or fix it if you can. But if you can't fix it, don't bother yourself about what you can't fix. Yeah, it's a lot of talk, but that's about it, right? So for me, I think we can wrap it up here. There's definitely a part 2 to be had in the near future. It might take longer. Nels, I don't know if you're still there, but this has been...
I'm still here. Like, in terms of the... Let me just quickly say something before you round up. In terms of the part 2, though, it might come sooner than expected. And it might come, it depends on the energy. But of course, let's just put this out first.
Yeah, right. This is dope stuff, man. Good to catch up again. And I hope you're good.
Yes, boss. Yeah.
Stay good, stay alive, stay gingered, stay rich, stay heavy, rich in content, rich in academics, rich in, morals, rich in all those good stuff. And there's more in life. There's a lot of goodies to enjoy in life. Getting out of that. Oh yeah, now my bro.
Yeah, safe, my G. Go rest.
Go talk. I don't need sleep for sharing.
Yeah, now safe, G.